for your morning. All the news you need to know. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Well, good morning. This is the WABC Early News. I'm Frank Morano. Hello, Juliet.
Hello, Frank. How was the Columbus Day Parade?
It was great. We missed you. How are you feeling?
I'm good. Thank you. I am Juliet Huddy, by the way. And here are the big stories making headlines this morning.
This is the Top 5 at 5.
We got some exciting news yesterday that could hopefully change the game when it comes to COVID. Hopefully. Crossing our fingers. Merck on Monday announcing it's asked the FDA for emergency use authorization for a pill to treat mild to moderate cases of COVID. If this is approved, it would be the first of its kind, and patients could take it at home.
And speaking of COVID, Texas Governor Greg Abbott is eliminating coronavirus vaccine mandates in the Lone Star State. He issued an executive order saying no entity could require employees or consumers to get the inoculation. It goes into effect immediately.
Cops in the city may have finally caught up to that crew of thugs who have been violently attacking unsuspecting diners, mainly sitting outside of really nice places. A police officer opened fire early Monday on a group that they believe were ready to pull off another heist. One man was taken into custody. The others escaped. The New York Post reporting the high-end robbery ring has stolen roughly $4 million in jewelry and watches from their victims, many of whom were just sitting outside having dinner, having drinks. Authorities believe that they are affiliated with the Trinitarios gang and have killed at least one target.
John Gruden is resigning as head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. He informed his staff as more past emails surfaced that featured homophobic and misogynistic comments. Raiders owner Mark Davis reportedly met with Gruden and was informed of the decision.
And today is the day we should hear more details about the death of Gabby Petito. A Wyoming coroner is set to give an official cause of death later on today. Obviously her death was ruled a homicide, but officials really haven't disclosed any of the details publicly about how she died or about the state of her body when it was found. The 22-year-old, of course, was a Long Island native. She disappeared late August while on an ill-fated cross-country trip with her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. You'll hear more about him and his family a little bit later on. And those are your top five at five. Coming up this half hour, we've got Matt Sapienza in with sports. We have our history hit at 5:20. But first, it is finally happening, Frank. The Westchester County DA is set to impanel a grand jury soon. On the docket is going to be Robert Durst, evidence against Robert Durst, the eccentric New York City millionaire long suspected in his wife's 1982 disappearance. The 78-year-old is facing life in prison after being convicted last month of killing a close friend who reportedly was set to snitch on him about Kathy Durst's death.
And we are also keeping an eye on a number of other stories, including an environmental nonprofit is suing the state of Texas and Cameron County over a policy that allows SpaceX to close Boca Chica Beach for testing and launches. Save RGV filed the lawsuit in state district court yesterday, and the group claims that closing the beach violates the Texas Open Beaches Act, despite an exception passed by state lawmakers in 2013 that allows such closures. The group says the 2013 law should be unconstitutional since it essentially gives a public beach to a private company.
Also, we've got some disturbing video out of a deranged woman choking a teenager. This happened earlier this month outside of a sushi restaurant in Astoria, Queens. You can actually see the woman who is reportedly homeless, randomly walking up behind the 16-year-old girl who's just sitting there eating, and the woman puts her in a chokehold. Minerva Martinez is her name. She was arrested Saturday. The 36-year-old has a lengthy rap sheet and a history of mental illness.
And a former Pentagon software chief says he quit because the U.S. is losing the global tech war. Nicholas Chalian told the Financial Times he resigned from his position because China has already won the tech war. Chalian says the U.S. has no competing fighting chance against China in 15 to 20 years, and some U.S. systems are kindergarten level in comparison. Chalian says the Pentagon's first chief software officer, and he says he plans to testify to Congress in the coming weeks about the Chinese cyber threat to U.S. supremacy, including classified briefings.
And a New York Times expose on Rikers Island is painting a pretty clear picture of a prison run amok. Among the claims, inmates can often be found just roaming around the place with no supervision, free to attack whoever they want, each other, jail staffers, whatever. Other revelations include some of these guys are getting help from the guards themselves, which is a lovely thought, is it not? 5:06 right now. Let's get a check of the weather from your Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. It actually turned into a really nice day yesterday. How was it for you guys in the city?
It was great, actually. It was a perfect day. It was a little windy at times, but we were calling it, you know, we did the show from outside, a Goldilocks day. It was not too hot, not too cold. It was perfect.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, today we're going to have some cloudy skies early, followed by partial clearing later in the day. So that'll be nice. 72 degrees for a high. Tomorrow we are getting to 74 degrees. Again, pretty much a picture perfect day as far as lack of rain goes. We will have some humidity, but again, clouds and sunshine with a high of 74. Thursday, we're looking at a high of 79, which is just crazy for this time of year, with partly cloudy skies. And Friday, we get up to about 80 degrees, which is just nuts. And that is the weather from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center for you.
What's trending?
All right, here is what's trending around the nation. There's a new book coming out. It reveals how much how Mitch McConnell and Tom Cotton pretty much went behind President Trump's back at the time, tried to stop GOP senators from overturning the election results. The book, In Trump's Shadow, The Battle for 2024 and the Future of the GOP, set to hit bookshelves 1 week from today. Cleveland Clinic, the latest hospital to stop performing organ transplants for unvaccinated people. Investment behemoth Goldman Sachs, this is really sketchy. They reached a secret settlement with an intern who was left bleeding from the brain after hazing by a boss. This was out in San Francisco. The victim says the boss told him to shut up or the boss's family in Russia would kill him if he talked about how he was injured. And former Real Housewives of Orange County star Meghan King married Joe Biden's nephew, Cuff Owens, yesterday. The two met on a dating app not that long ago, actually just a few months ago. It was a whirlwind romance, as they say. King recently divorced former MLB star Jim Edmonds. The whole Biden clan was there, including the president himself.
Here's what's trending around the world. A new report says an Afghan interpreter who helped Joe Biden more than a decade ago is now out of the country. Wall Street Journal reporting Aman Khalili and his family got out last week with the help of U.S. veterans and former Afghan soldiers. And Moderna has no plans to share the recipe for its COVID-19 vaccine because executives have concluded that scaling up the company's own production is the best way to increase the global supply. That's an announcement from the company chairman yesterday. And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un reviewed powerful missiles developed to launch nuclear strikes on the U.S. mainland as he vowed to build an invincible military to cope with what he called persistent U.S. hostility. That was a North Korean state media report yesterday. Finally, British engineer is breaking a Guinness World Record for the world's fastest lawnmower. Tony Edwards says he started planning to build the riding lawnmower from scratch around 2 years ago. The mower is reportedly able to reach speeds of 143 miles per hour.
Why? I don't get it. Also, trending in entertainment, we're getting our first look at Timothy Chalamet as Chalamet. Well, look at you guys. That's the thing. I don't know these young people anymore, these young actors. He is going to be the beloved Candyman, you guys. The actor filming scenes in a purple coat and brown top hat for the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory prequel. The movie follows Wonka as a young man. It co-stars The Crown's Olivia Colman, who is just awesome, and Keegan-Michael Key, among others. Wonka, set for release St. Patrick's Day 2023. And Bond is a bust at the box office, at least here in the States. No Time to Die only scored $56 million in its opening weekend here, compared to $35 million in the UK, which, Frank, as you know, is a little smaller. Experts blame our country's vaccine and mask mandates, which you do not find across the pond, as they say. And that is what's trending. WABC News Time now, 5:11.
All right. Coming up in business, I'll tell you what the markets did yesterday and what Washington is doing and how it affects the markets. And a little bit later, I'll tell you what's happening in the world of politics. And then I'm looking forward to hearing Jet Set Juliet's travel report at 5:40, because without Jet Set Juliet, the Jet Set Juliet travel report is very lacking. All right.
Really? Yes, that's right.
DC Comics' new Superman is coming out as bisexual in an upcoming issue. John Kent is known as the Superman of Earth and starts a relationship with a reporter named Jay Nakamura. Writer Tom Taylor said he felt everyone needs heroes and everyone deserves to see themselves in their heroes. This comes after DC published an issue in August that had Batman's sidekick Robin come out as bisexual.
They'd make a cute couple.
Robin and Superman?
Heck, why not?
I can't argue with that. That would be one safe household. The U.S.
Real quick. So Superman's son is now Superman?
They call him the Superman of the Earth. This is the son of Clark Kent and Lois Lane.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does the regular Superman, is he not able to have kids?
No, this is his son.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, it's Clark Kent. So it's like, you know, maybe he can, maybe Superman can't, you know, he has to be in Clark Kent version.
No. He's doing fine. He's super. Unless it's a kryptonite prophylactic, he's fine.
Okay.
The U.S. Supreme Court is expected this week to consider whether to reinstate the death penalty of convicted Boston Marathon bomber Dzhokhar Tsarnaev. The sentence was thrown out by the federal appeals court in Boston last year. It ruled that the trial judge made a mistake by excluding some evidence the defense wanted to introduce. They also may not have done enough to screen jurors about their exposure to extensive news coverage. The 2013 bombings killed three people and injured more than 250 others. The Facebook whistleblower, who testified in front of lawmakers last week, will now go before the company's oversight board. Frances Haugen tweeted she accepted an offer to talk with the board. She noted that in the coming weeks, she'll talk about what she learned during her time working for the social media giant. Haugen also accused Facebook of lying to the oversight board. She said the company has done that repeatedly. So we will see.
Going in there with security, I hope.
That's what I am wondering. We will see where it goes. A former Navy nuclear engineer and his wife will be in court today after being charged with espionage. Jonathan and Diana Toby are accused of trying to sell submarine secrets to a foreign government. Prosecutors allege they hid memory cards in items like a peanut butter sandwich and Band-Aid wrapper and gave them to an undercover FBI agent. Prosecutors want them to stay behind bars until trial. And Netflix is defending comedian Dave Chappelle's new stand-up special amidst controversy. The co-CEO sent a memo to workers saying they have different standards for artistic freedom when it comes to stand-up comedy. Ted Sarandis said The Closer, which is the name of the Dave Chappelle special, does not cross the line on hate, and the streaming giant has no plans to remove it. Chappelle is being called out for his comments about the trans and LGBTQ plus communities. And finally, before we get to sports, the Earth is being impacted by a solar flare. The Space Weather Prediction Center says a coronal mass ejection from the sun over the weekend will trigger geomagnetic storms. That could create conditions allowing the northern lights to be seen further south than usual, possibly right here in New York. This could also lead to power grid fluctuations. So if you lose power today, that's what's doing it.
Oh, that makes sense. We've got some Comrex issues.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah, that's the first thing I thought.
5:15, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
All right, thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Let's play ball. We're going to start things off on the West Coast, where Evan Longoria powered a home run off Max Scherzer through fierce wind. Chris Taylor and pinch hitter Gavin Lux fell short, putting the defending World Series champions on the brink of elimination. Longoria's shot in the fifth inning, giving up the Giants a 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers on a cold, blustery last night with conditions more akin to San Francisco than Los Angeles. The Giants took a 2-1 lead in the NL Division Series. Now, Also, I want you to think back just a few days. It was Friday when Red Sox starter Chris Sale coughed off a grand slam in the first inning to Jordan Luplo, giving the Rays a 5-2 lead while already being up one game to none in the series. Who could have possibly thought that the Red Sox would basically own the rest of the series? Yet, that's what happened. The Red Sox closed things down with a thrilling 6-5 victory last night at Fenway Park, winning the best of five ALDS 3-1. The Red Sox won once again in walk-off fashion with Enrique Hernandez's sac fly winning the game in the ninth. The loss eliminates the Rays, the AL East champion and reigning AL pennant winners, who racked up 100 regular season wins in 2021. The win sends the Red Sox to their second ALCS in 4 years. And that's your sports at 15:45. For the WABC Early News, I'm Matt Sapienza. Back to you guys.
Look at you, Matt, getting all quirky there with your reporting.
Oh, thank you, Julia.
I like it. Yeah, good personality.
I mean, quirky, I don't know if it's a compliment, but there you go.
I take quirky as a compliment.
All right, fair enough.
Well, it's 5:18, but it is time to go back in time.
And now, it's Buddy's History Hit.
Well, they are not exactly sure which species they were. But scientists studying ancient footprints say that they believe the set of roughly 50 human-like track marks are likely the oldest direct evidence of a human-like foot used for walking. This is so crazy. So these footprints were found back in 2002 in a little village on the island of Crete over there in Greece. They were left in a sedimentary rock that formed along the Mediterranean shore, and experts say their shape suggests whatever hominin left them was more primitive than even footprints belonging to the ancient pre-human species to which the famous Lucy belongs. They're considered roughly 4 million years old, but these footprints, which again, they found back in 2002, but they finally were able to do some dating and stuff like that. They think they're more than 6 million years old, meaning that they are the oldest direct evidence of what we were 6 million years ago. Isn't that wild? You can just see you can see them. You can see them tracked. They have the whole area kind of obviously cordoned off. It's really, really just amazing. I mean, 6 million years ago, before we were erect, standing erect. I mean, that is just wild. And that's your history hit for today. WABC News time is 5:21.
All right. Quite a bit happening in the news. A weekend auction of heirlooms from the estate of the late notorious gangster Al Capone generated over $3 million for his descendants. Close to 200 pieces were sold at the Witherall's auction house. As expected, Capone's favorite gun was the biggest moneymaker, going for $860,000. Other auction pieces included a more private side of Capone, including letters, home movies, and family photos. The gangster's granddaughter, Diane Patricia Capone, says the pieces reveal a personal side of her infamous grandfather.
Where does the money go? She's going to keep it?
Yeah, to their family, yes.
Mm. The New York Post is reporting Monday that city teachers are being tasked with finding their MIA students. The Department of Education sent a memo out to principals last week telling schools to follow up on the suspected 150,000 kids who haven't been showing up to class. Outreach, according to the document, can include anything from calls and texts to home visits and even postcards.
On the one hand, Juliet, this is sort of your domain since it involves royalty. But on the other hand, it involves cheese and wine, which is firmly within my domain.
Those are in my domain as well, please.
Prince Charles is showing off his green credentials ahead of the United Nations Climate Change Conference later this month. The 73-year-old heir to the throne revealed yesterday that his Aston Martin runs on what's described as, quote, surplus white wine and whey from the cheese process. The car the prince has owned for 5 decades has been converted to run on a fuel blend of 85% bioethanol and 15% unleaded gas. The UN Climate Change Conference, known as COP26, runs from October 31st through November 12th in Glasgow, England.
Oh,
Scotland. Glasgow, Scotland.
Glasgow, I love it. Just an FYI. Do not ditch your masks. That is the word from Dr. Anthony Fauci, who says COVID is still spreading too rapidly to even think about being enclosed indoors without a mask. He did, however, tell CNN that he's giving the thumbs up to trick-or-treaters. So we've got the thumbs up to holiday gatherings, and now we have the thumbs up to trick-or-treating. And he encouraged folks who have not been vaccinated, of course, to get their jabs to avoid another deadly wave.
And speaking of COVID, the CDC is sending screeners to look for potential new COVID variants at San Francisco International Airport, JFK, and Newark International. It's a pilot program that aims to identify new variants and get a leg up on research and testing of how the variants spread and how they react to vaccines. The program is limited to passengers on a handful of incoming international flights.
Oh, I wonder if I'll be on one of those flights.
I wonder indeed.
Yes. Well, speaking of flights, some angry flyers queued up at airports across the country Monday morning. Oof. Southwest Airlines canceling thousands of flights over the long weekend. The company blamed weather, but some observers say the problem really was a walkout by pilots angry over COVID vaccine mandates. The pilots union is denying those claims, though.
Speaking of anger, protesters in Chicago are denouncing Columbus Day. Dozens of people gathered yesterday to celebrate Indigenous Peoples Day, and Democratic State Representative Delia Ramirez announced the reintroduction of a bill that would officially change Columbus Day in the state to Indigenous People Day statewide. The rally took place just hours before the city's annual Columbus Day parade downtown.
Can I just ask a question here? Maybe this is a stupid question, but why can't we just have just Italian Day then? I mean, if, you know, just give it its own day.
Well,
we've been celebrating.
I think this requires probably a lengthier discussion than the minute or two that we have here.
But it was really a rhetorical question.
Well, okay.
Just ponder it. Yeah. I mean, we've been celebrating Columbus Day forever. If, you know, you got a problem with Columbus. Okay. Let's just celebrate Italians. They're wonderful people. I just think that that's period. Done. Frank?
Yes.
I do have some concerns about the neighbors who are living in the area of the fugitive Brian Laundry, his parents. As the search for their son continues into its third week, Brian Laundry's parents are spending their days holed up, not surprisingly, inside their Florida home, and their nights apparently removing debris and garbage left on their lawn by protesters. Apparently, Chris and Roberta Laundry were seen picking up more than a dozen empty laundry baskets that were thrown onto their lawn, taking down posters of Brian's murdered girlfriend, Gabby Petito, late Sunday night as well. I guess people are really just trolling them, by throwing laundry baskets and, putting up just reminders of Gabby Petito. I'm sure the neighbors just absolutely love all this. It's got to be real fun for them.
And the Cleveland Clinic will no longer give organ transplants to people who are not vaccinated against COVID over concerns they could be at high risk of contracting the virus. At the same time, unvaccinated people will no longer be able to become living organ donors over fears the illness could be transmitted. The hospital says the reason for the policy is the drugs organ recipients must take that suppress the immune system to avoid organ rejection. It also makes people more susceptible to viruses like the coronavirus.
Former UFC champ Chuck Liddell busted for domestic violence early Monday. TMZ reporting the fight happened at the home that he shares with his wife, Heidi Northcott, in Hidden Hills, California. It's where all the rich people live, like the Kardashians and stuff like that. Apparently, Liddell was booked on misdemeanor charges of domestic battery. They have two children.
A Yale grad student's Jeopardy reign is over. After 38 straight wins, Matt Amodio ended his run yesterday in second place all time in consecutive wins, behind only Ken Jennings, who won 74 straight games. The Ohio native's total winnings amount to about $1.5 million, putting him third on the all-time regular season winnings list. He'll return to the show for the next Tournament of Champions.
In the next half hour, we've got some more hard news stories to get to. We've got some lighter stories for you. Some of the hard news stories about Kristen Sinema, who was apparently bird-dogged at the Boston Marathon yesterday. And a new poll shows that Americans are pretty clueless, unfortunately. We've got BizBuzz coming up at 5:38 and Jet Set Juliet at 5:40. I'm going to talk to you about, for the next couple of days, about the world's best restaurants. I kind of picked out the best of the best. So we'll talk about that and Jet Set Juliet. But first, let's head over to Deb Valentine for an update on your top stories.
All right. Good morning. A small plane crashed into a suburban San Diego neighborhood Monday, setting two homes ablaze. At least two people were killed, two others suffering burns, the cause under investigation. While the U.S. may finally be nearing the end of the COVID-19 Delta variant surge, the national rate of new cases as well as hospitalizations is actually down a whopping 44% in weekly cases since mid-September. Well, the official cause of death of Gabby Petito will be announced today. The Teton County coroner, Dr. Brent Blue, will make that announcement. It's expected about 2:30 this afternoon. The Long Island native's death ruled a homicide. Her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, remains missing. Well, there are some terrifying moments in the Bronx yesterday. A man grabbed a three-year-old girl walking with her grandmother and two other small children. Now, this happened at the intersection of Baisley Avenue and East Tremont Ave, right near a BP gas station. It was all caught on surveillance. Good Samaritans jumped into action. Police arrested 27-year-old Santiago Salcido at the scene.
It hurts to see something like this in our neighborhood.
So this guy charged with kidnapping now, attempted kidnapping, unlawful imprisonment, and other charges. Well, New York City, believe it or not, plans to deploy a non-toxic gas later this month. This is all part of a study of preparedness for things like a chemical or a biological attack. Now, these tests will be done on five separate days between October 18th and October 29th. This has been done successfully in other cities, including Washington, D.C., as well as Boston. Well, Jeopardy fans, Matt Amodio's historic run on Jeopardy came to a screeching halt last night. He has the second longest winning streak in the game show's history. Amodio finished with 38 wins. Incredible. $1.5 million in prize money. The Yale doctoral student failed to answer the final Jeopardy question correctly. He actually came in third last night. So the new Jeopardy champion is Jonathan Fisher, an actor originally from Coral Gables, California. WABC News Time 5:30. Back to Juliet and Frank.
All right. Thank you very much. And I want to talk to you guys about life's daily stresses and how they can impact, really take a toll on our appearance. That is definitely the mindset and the ethos at Dolce Aesthetics, where they will give you a wide range of services, including non-invasive, non-surgical treatments, everything from Botox to fillers, but they also do facials. They do, you know, butt lifts and all sorts of really, really great things that a lot of people, I think, probably appreciate and maybe benefit from. The choices really are endless. It's just a matter of kind of deciding what procedures that you want and which ones are right for you. You know, I never had Botox until I was in my late 30s, and somebody said to me, well, you don't need it. And I said, well, somebody else told me preventative medicine. Not that it's really medicine, but, you know, I got to tell you, starting a little bit early, It does kind of help, I personally think. Dolce Aesthetics is great because, well, they're great just because I love Jen. She's just an awesome person, and she's the headmaster over there. she's the best. She has locations in Howard Beach, Glendale, Brooklyn, and now Oceanside on Long Island. So you've got, it's convenient, it's accessible, and you can go there and you can relax and you can walk out, and you literally will walk out looking like a different, more improved person, I should say. You're not going to look different. You're just going to have more of a fresh look. If you're ready to experience prime results, just text the word Dolce, D-O-L-C-E, to 95000 for 10% off your next treatment. You can visit them at DolceAestheticsNewYork.com. That's D-O-L-C-E, AestheticsNY.com.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Thank you very much. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Juliet Huddy. Frank is going to join us in just a second. WABC News time is 5:32. Coming up, I'll tell you the best of the best, world's best restaurants, at least from the top 25 down to about the top 20. That's in your Jet Set Juliet travel update at 5:40. Frank, what's big in politics this morning?
Well, we're going to have a look at the New Jersey governor's race and the money that's being spent in that contest and where some of it's coming from, and the source may surprise you.
Oh, interesting. That's a good tease. We'll hear more on Frankly Politics at 5:50. But first, it's time for your top five at 5:30. Number one, the Pentagon's first ever chief software officer is out. Nicholas Kylan is saying that he is resigning in protest because the U.S. military is acting too slow, or has been acting too slow, when it comes to the artificial intelligence war with China. The 37-year-old telling the Financial Times that China's victory is essentially a done deal, and our country's failure to respond is putting us at risk.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is eliminating coronavirus vaccine mandates in the Lone Star State. He issued an executive order saying that no entity could require employees or consumers to get the inoculation. It goes into effect immediately. The governor is also asking the Texas legislature to pass a law banning vaccine mandates. Multiple Texas hospital workers fired their employees. Well, multiple Texas hospitals fired their employees for not getting the shot.
Shocking, I know, but most Americans are clueless about current events. A new poll shows just 1 out of 10 of you, of us, know much about President Biden's multi-trillion dollar Build Back Better spending plan. About 3 in 10 admit that they have no clue what's in it. The CBS YouGov poll comes as Biden's approval ratings continue to tank, including among his key demos, which is surprising, I guess, but not really surprising, blacks, Latinos, young people, and women.
Protesters are expected to gather at the Michigan State Capitol today to call for a forensic audit of the 2020 election. The rally was initially registered with the Capitol by a group called Election Integrity Fund and Force. Former President Trump promoted the event last Friday.
And archaeologists in England found the remains of a Nazi rocket, the first supersonic weapon. The V-2 was shot from The Hague in Belgium on Valentine's Day back in 1945. It crashed into a field outside of London 5 minutes later. Researchers digging at the site near St. Mary's Platt, which is southeast of London, say so far they have found nearly 2,000 pounds of Nazi material there. And those are your top five at 5:30, Frank.
All right. Well, we are going to have a look at business in just a minute. We'll also bring you what's happening in the world of politics. And, of course, you're not going to want to miss the Jet Set Juliet travel report and Matt Sapienza, who's got sports coming up.
I've got a question for you, Frank. Mm-hmm. Have you been out shopping lately? I know that you've got the baby on the way.
Not really. No, I'm not much of a shopper.
Well, I don't know if anybody's been out there. I mean, whether you go to the grocery store or Costco or whatever, but shelves in our area are, well, actually shelves all over the country are looking a little different. Stores around the country are reporting supply chain issues because of the backlog at ports and rail yards and other key distribution locations. So these items that do make it onto the racks, that actually do make it, come with a higher price tag, of course. Walmart and Costco are putting limits on certain products, like, I think, toilet paper, you know, paper products, I think. And toy companies are warning parents to start shopping now, because if you want to go out and get something, you know, it may not be on the shelves come Christmas time.
Well, and they're saying these supply chain disruptions may not just end in a month or two. These could last about a year, these supply chain disruptions, because of what's happening with the workforce and in cars in particular. If you're in the market for a new car now, you are going to have to wait a great deal because of this chip shortage. So cat food, school buses, you name it, plastic containers, you are seeing shortages across paper products, as you mentioned. You are seeing supply chain issues all across every aspect of the economy.
Biz Buzz.
The opening bell rings this morning after a roller coaster day on Wall Street that ended with stocks in the red. After starting the session lower, the major averages briefly turned green, only to slump and then extend losses in late trading. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones lost 250 points, the S&P 500 fell 30 points, and the Nasdaq dropped 93 points. The job openings figure for August are due today. Economists expect to see some tightening from July, down to 10.8 million openings in August. Those numbers will be out at 10 o'clock this morning. Southwest Airlines CEO Gary Kelly says it was a perfect storm that led to the cancellation of thousands of flights over the weekend, leaving travelers stranded across the nation. The airline canceled more than 2,000 flights from Saturday through Monday, blaming it on weather in Florida and air traffic control issues. Amazon is going to let company team directors decide how often team members should be coming into the office. In a Monday memo, CEO Andy Jassy said he expects some teams to work mostly remote, others mostly from the office, and some combination of the two when offices reopen next year. And finally, the CEO of one of the nation's biggest banks is predicting global supply chain issues will end soon. Clearly, he did not hear what I just said. Jamie Dimon said there won't be any problems next year. He added, This is the worst part of it. Diamond made his comments to an Institute of International Finance conference. Juliet.
Thank you very much. WABC News time is 5:40. Time for your Jet Set Juliet travel update. Let's start with a little breaking news. First of all, we have some great news for folks dreaming of that tropical, cheap Thailand trip. The country announced Monday that it's ditching mandatory quarantine requirements. So it's now going to let in visitors from a handful of low-risk countries, including the U.S. I believe these are vaccinated visitors. And by the way, when I say cheap, I mean like really cheap. Experts say the average traveler spends about $15 per day on meals, $10 on transport. This is in Thailand. The average hotel room, a nice one, is about $60 a night. I mean, that's a really nice one. I actually went on Airbnb. You can get a gorgeous, gorgeous, ultra-modern, three-bedroom, huge, brand-new townhouse on the beach. And I'm talking like luxury, luxury, for $100 a night on Airbnb. I mean, it's what you can get over there is just amazing. So John and I think are thinking about maybe trying to head to Thailand at some point. Fiji, meantime, also opening its bamboo doors to American travelers starting December 1st. And again, you must be fully vaccinated. And I love this story. Holland America launched their first cruise since the pandemic from the West Coast over the weekend. And to celebrate, they're offering $100 onboard spending money to any cruise that departs from San Diego through December 31st. This is only, though, for active and retired members of the military. But obviously, you've got a huge military presence there in Southern Cali. So it's a big gesture. So kudos to them. Moving on, the world's best restaurants list came out last week. And the only reason I didn't get to it here is because the world's coolest neighborhoods list came out at the same time and I had to pick. So the reason that I'm doing this segment is because many of you folks listening out there are foodies. You appreciate a great meal and oftentimes you plan around a great meal. I too love a great meal, but I'm probably not going to travel someplace to have one. I won't plan a trip because someplace has been rated a Michelin star. But if I am there, when in Rome, as they say. So if you happen to be traveling or thinking about traveling, maybe this will sway you. Maybe this will give you some ideas. Here are some of the highlights of the top 25. So 25 through 20, actually. Coming in at 25 is a place in Moscow that I would love to check out. It's called White Rabbit. It sits about 16 stories up in a building overlooking the capital city. It's got a crazy 360-degree view. And the decor, I like to call it glamopulent. It's like, it's glam, but it's opulent. Like think nightclub in a Russian palace kind of vibe. The food is Russian focused with lots of caviar, liver and cabbage, but with quirky additions like baked marshmallow. It's a very clever menu and a very clever chef. 24 on the list, of course. Paris is on the list a bunch of times. One of the places that stood out to me though is this hip neo bistro called Septime. It's run by a former graphic designer turned chef. So you know you're going to have really creative, modern takes on the classic French dishes. What I like is that it's a place, it sounds like a place that my husband, who hates anything too frou-frou, like he would not want to sit at a place where they give you like a little pea on a plate. That's not his vibe. He doesn't like to dress up. So he'd probably love this place. It's got a really chill vibe. Word is, it's a cool place, this is the quote, a cool place on a cool street run by cool people and frequented by cool customers. I'm going to jump down to number 22, just for the sake of time, because it's right here in New York City. It's Cosme. I mentioned this last week. It's just it's a cool Mexican place. It's in the awesome Flatiron District. So, I mean, please, sign me up. I like the decor and the food apparently is fantastic. Number 20 also stands out to me. It's Diver XO. I think that's how you pronounce it, in Madrid, Spain. This place looks, Frank, like something out of, I don't know. It's like if Willy Wonka meets Star Trek meets Eloise's room at the Plaza.
All right. Yeah. We'll send Timothy Chalamet over there.
Yes. The chef is the second youngest person ever to earn three-star Michelin status. His name is David Munoz. He's just 33 years old. Just to give you an idea of how whacked out this place and apparently the chef and the cuisine is, one of the offerings is Galician lobster waking up on the beaches of Goa, which I don't know what that means, but apparently it looks like a work of art. And I looked at some of the other dishes, some of the the actual images of these dishes. And I mean, yeah, this guy is just, he is really out there. But the thing that I love about it is that the food is delicious. It's not one of these things where it looks really great, but then you taste it and you're like, ah, well, no, whatever. But it was worth it because it looks really cool. No, it looks and it tastes amazing. Tomorrow, I have more highlights from the list, including a stunning restaurant perched on the side of Lake Garda in Italy. This is my next stop. And also a Viennese spot that celebrates rare breeds, forgotten ingredients, and pastry. And a place in Brazil that celebrates pork, pork, and more pork. And that is your Jet Set Juliet for today.
All right. A Jet Set Juliet travel report extraordinaire today. I'll look forward to tomorrow. That'll be fun. 5:45, let's get a look at sports with Matt Sapienza.
Thanks, Frank, and good morning, everybody. Let's play ball. Here's what's going on in the wide world of sports. We start things off on the West Coast, where Evan Longoria powered a home run off Max Scherzer through fierce win. Chris Taylor and pinch hitter Gavin Lux fell short, putting the defending World Series champions on the brink of elimination. Longoria's shot in the fifth inning held up, giving the Giants a 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers on a cold, blustery night, with conditions more akin to San Francisco than Los Angeles. The Giants took a 2-1 lead in the NL Division Series. Now, think back just a few days. It was Friday when Red Sox starter Chris Sale coughed up a grand slam in the first inning to Jordan Luplo, giving the Rays a 5-2 lead while already being up one game to none in the series. Who could have possibly thought that the Red Sox would basically own the rest of the series? Well, that's what happened. The Red Sox closed things down with a thrilling 6-5 victory last night at Fenway Park, winning the best of 5 ALDS with a score of 3-1 in the series. The Red Sox won once again in walk-off fashion with Enrique Hernandez's sac fly, winning the game of the ninth. The loss eliminates the Rays, the AL East champion and reigning AL pennant winners, who racked up 100 regular season wins in 2021. The win sends the Red Sox to their second ALCS in 4 years. And that's your sports at 15:45 for the WABC Early News. I'm Matt Sapienza. I'll be back tomorrow with more sports at this same time. See you then.
WABC News time is 5:48. Up next, I've got your weather forecast. Frank talks politics and frankly politics. And so this is behind the scenes scoop in the New Jersey governor's race.
Well, I mean, it's not behind the scenes. It's public. It's public.
Sid is just falling apart.
Yeah, we have a massive coffee spill here. Anybody that can hear my voice, please grab as many paper towels as possible to save some of this electronic equipment. But it's not behind the scenes. It's been published, but it's not something that I think a lot of people have paid attention to. And I think it's pretty interesting.
Okay, good. All right, good. And then as Sid, as you heard, I mean, unless he's got to clean himself up, which has been wanted to happen, he is in with the preview of the Bernie and Sid show. And one more thing.
Entertaining and informative. It's the WABC Early News on 77 WABC. Now, here's Juliet Huddy and Frank Morano.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Juliet Huddy from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. We're going to have a nice day today. It's going to be about 72 degrees for a high. Clouds in the morning, but it'll start to clear up later on in the day. It will be pretty humid, unfortunately. Tonight, we're dropping down into the low 60s. Tomorrow, we'll get up to 74. We'll have a mix of clouds and sunshine throughout the day, light winds. Tomorrow night, we're going to go down to 63 degrees. And again, humidity is going to stay pretty consistent. Thursday and Friday, we're looking at high, very unseasonably warm temperatures, highs of 79 on Thursday and 80 on Friday. Looks like we're going to start to dip after that. But for now, it's looking pretty warm. We will have partly sunny skies both of those days. We may have some showers on Saturday, but it's a little far away at this point. 64 degrees currently in New York City.
And now, Frankly Politics.
Well, we've been spending a lot of time covering the New York City mayor's race and the New York State governor's race. Let's have a look across the Hudson River and take a look at the New Jersey governor's race. Jack Cittarelli, the Republican challenger, was one of the guests on our WABC Columbus Day coverage yesterday. And believe it or not, he has so far outspent Democratic Governor Phil Murphy by more than $3 million so far in New Jersey's combined combative governor's race, according to new figures released by the state's election watchdog. Cittarelli, who's a former member of the state assembly, has spent $8.9 million. That's compared to only $5.6 million by Murphy, who is seeking to claim a second term and at this point is leading in the polls. But Murphy has outraised Cittarelli $13.3 million to $10 million and has considerably more cash on hand heading into the final month of the November 2nd election. But interesting thing about this is where the money is coming from. Much of the candidate's spending is actually from the taxpayers. This has been funded by taxpayer money under New Jersey's matching funds program. The state gives public funds to candidates who raise a certain amount and agree to limit total spending. Murphy has, who's of course a multimillionaire, has received $8.8 million in public money up until now, while Cittarelli, who is, of course, a multimillionaire, has so far gotten $6.3 million. The most public money any candidate can receive is $10.6 million, and they have to agree to limit their spending on the general election to $15.6 million. That's what's happening, quite frankly.
All right. Thank you very much. It is 5:53. Sydney is recovering from another spill.
I did it again.
He didn't fall over. He actually literally spilled. How are you this morning, Dave?
I'm great. You know, Cittarelli is my guy. I've actually, I'm supposed to go tomorrow night to a big fundraiser for Jack at a place called the Brownstone. Juliet, you know Tommy Manzo, Tommy and Dina Manzo. Yeah. Tommy owns that building. But my issue is it's the same night as Pink Runway in Brooklyn for Maimonides Medical Center.
Oh, boy.
My heart is with Heshy Ogenbaum and those guys. So I'm going to Brooklyn, but Cittarelli's a guy that's been on our show three times. We really like him, and we'll see how that race goes. We'll see. It's interesting. Yes, I spilled my coffee this morning. I had a great day at the Columbus Parade yesterday. I know that while I was en route to the end of the parade, that you specifically, Frank Morano, was saying some very nice things about me. I appreciate that.
That's right. I was digging that car that you were riding on top of with Dolores from The Real Housewives, some sort of convertible.
El Dorado, Cadillac.
So, yeah, so John was wondering if it was a Rolls-Royce convertible, but
no,
it wasn't. It was a Cadillac convertible.
La Familia Cadillac Club. They must have had about 30 or 40 Cadillacs yesterday.
Car. That's the
Beautiful.
Kind of car they don't make anymore.
No. And when I first arrived on 46th Street, it was blocks of convertible Cadillacs. Good luck finding my guy, who happened to be in the very, very front. His name is Frankie. He did a terrific job. But the car was beautiful. The folks were great. That was a great time yesterday. That leads us to today. Tuesday on Bernie and Sid, Juliet and Frank. Always Bo Deedle. He was there yesterday. Great Italian. He'll be on this morning. And then, talking about the Maimonides event tomorrow night, the Marge, Margaret Josephs from Real Housewives of New Jersey. She'll be live in studio coming up at 9:25.
All right. Oh, very
and,
cool.
By the way, if you have an opportunity, you don't have to just listen to the Bernie and Sid show. You can watch them by going to WABCRadio.com or WABCRadio.tv. You can see the live video stream. A fine, fine production directed by Gabby Lopez, who had quite a grin on her face when she saw people cleaning up coffee that she was not being blamed for spilling.
Well, today. She did the last one.
Right. Again, now,
100%.
The fact that there was another spill has some people wondering if maybe she was blamed wrongfully.
Oh,
the
I
last
see what you're
time.
Saying. Sure.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right. Here comes conspiracy theories on how Sid spills his coffee.
That's right.
Well, you know, if there's a drama, you got to be at the center of it.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
Speaking of drama, real quick, Sid, I got to get your take on the John Gruden resignation.
Well, he's got to go. It's ugly, misogynistic, homophobic. There's no defending it. You know, if it was like one sentence, even that you can't defend. You can't defend it. But this guy had multiple emails over multiple years. It didn't stop until 2018. So he had to go. And quite frankly, it has not been great for the Raiders anyway. If it was Bill Belichick and he won three Super Bowls, there may be an outcry to keep him. But he's been an average coach. What he did was kind of gross, and he needs to go.
All right.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right.
One more thing. I love this story. Anything having to do with pets, especially dogs. A Texas couple flying to Vegas got an adorable shock at airport check-in. They couldn't understand why their suitcase was overweight. They're like, we waited at home. What is going on? Until they opened it and found their chihuahua, Icky, hiding inside. Apparently the Ickster had hitched a ride in the husband's cowboy boot. A Southwest agent offered to babysit Icky so the duo could continue on their journey. I actually don't know if they took this person up on the offer, but Icky, very clever little chihuahua indeed.
And one more thing, Juliet. After finding a large amount of marijuana in a mini storage facility, a Florida sheriff is looking to return it to its owner. Brevard County Sheriff Wayne Ivey jokingly wrote in a post on the department's Facebook page, "They would be happy to reunite you with your lost property." The 770 pounds of marijuana carry a street value of $2 million, according to the post, which urges the rightful owner to go to the department's Criminal Investigation Services building. Possession of 20 grams of cannabis or more in the state is considered a felony.
You know, there are some really stupid people out there, some stupid criminals out there. It's just not out of the realm of possibility that somebody would actually take them up on this offer, you know?
You're right, but this is one that I think that this will be tough even for somebody to claim.
You know, you never say never, I've learned. I've definitely learned over the years. Never say never. Frank, great job yesterday at the event.
Thank you very much.
Holding down the fort. I've just been going through this weird just sickness. I don't know what it is, but it's not COVID because I did get my rapid test. It was negative, and then I got my PCR test, and that was negative. So we're working on it.
Well, how are you feeling? You're feeling pretty good.
I feel good, but I mean, I felt good Saturday, and then I went down. I don't know. You never know. But it's okay. We're loving life. We're here in New York City, and we're alive. And that's all we care about.
All right. Well, stay tuned for the Bernie and Sid show next. You'll hear wrap up and some behind the scenes stories of not only the Columbus Day Parade yesterday, but the great coffee spill of 2021, along with a whole bunch of other interesting subjects about what's happening in New York and Washington. Have a great day,
guys.
Everybody.